Well, the Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome everybody here, our guests, our visitors. We're glad you came out to be with us today on this. It's getting colder right now, Sunday morning. Been raining last night, bad night for that. I understand it's going to get real, real cold tonight. So please check on one another. Check on the seniors. Please check on our shut-ins. And if you have somebody in mind, please just give them a call. And let them know you're thinking about them and, you know, see if they need something, because this is a tough time of the year for a lot of our elderly folks. Also, want to thank Sharon for playing for us today. She always does a great job, and we appreciate her doing that. A few announcements and concerns for you. But first, I want to let you know about something. Luann Shive had surgery this week. She had two surgeries, just so you know. They couldn't do them all at the same time. Had to do two. She's doing very, very well. She's going to have a long recovery. It's going to take months for her to totally recover from all this. Terry said the doctors are saying everything looks real good. She's doing well. Saw her the other day. She's in a lot of pain. But just keep her in your prayers and let her get some rest and relaxation, and hopefully she'll be home very, very soon. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. But they wanted me to relay that to you. Also, we do have a lot of folks on our prayer concerns. Please be praying for the folks. There's just too many to mention, but we've got a lot of folks dealing with a lot of issues, a lot of chronic issues. Be praying for them. God desires us to pray for them, and that's one of the reasons we come together, to join together in prayer and to love one another and comfort one another in our times of need. Also, I want to let you know the altar flyers are given to the glory of God and in honor of Clarence and Ann Miller for their 46th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary. Many blessings. Many blessings. I think it might work. I guarantee you wonderful years. Like I say, I think it's going to work. I think y'all are going to make it. Happy anniversary. Many blessings. Also, just so you know, if you do come to something, if you come to the church at any time or whatever, if you open the door, please just lock it back. Just please lock it back and make sure, especially over at the fellowship hall, been having a little issue over there. Just we try to check around and do all that. Just make sure you lock everything. And just another note, if you do come in and turn the alarm off, please turn it back on when you leave, because sometimes come in, we know the alarm was on, it mysteriously it comes off. And so please just turn it back on if you would. We greatly appreciate that. Remember all of our new members, and I want to ask you this. Have you connected with somebody this week? Or have you connected with somebody today? Get outside of your comfort zone, and before today's over, talk to somebody you haven't talked to for a long time, or maybe haven't for quite a while. Maybe somebody you don't know. Talk to them. Just share a little bit with them. And remember this. Invite somebody to church. Invite somebody to the house of God. Because most people come because somebody invites them. And we appreciate it and thank you for that even before you do. Also, Boy Scout Troop 324 over at Rock Grove, we have several of our boys that are in various areas of that group over there, from the Cubs all the way up through the Boy Scouts. They are taking up and doing a canned food drive for Rowan Help and Ministries. If you'd like to help, just place your food items out back here in Narthex or even over here in the Breezeway, and we'll get those over to the Boy Scouts if you would do that. They need to have them by the 27th, so that would be next Sunday, and that way they can get stuff where it needs to go. Vicar will be doing his Wednesday Bible study, 6:30. Mine, since the Christmas hiatus and Thanksgiving hiatus, will start back tomorrow, 10:30, and 7 o'clock. We'll have community Bible study together with that. Also, crockpot meal on the 27th. This is to help out with air conditioning fun. Going to have a good time with that and enjoy those types of meals, so be aware of that. Also, going to have a cleaning date for the cemetery. You can check that out. It's coming in March. Acolyte and Crucifer Training, they will be coming up February the 3rd. They'd like to have everybody be able to come and be a part of that. Senior citizens have their next meeting on the 5th. That'll be Tuesday. BV meet 10:30 over there. There's also a little typo about Camp Agape. That should say July 28th, I believe, through the August the 2nd. That's quite a ways off, so we can get that straightened around. Is there anything that maybe perhaps we missed? Don't want to miss anything. Well, I believe at this time then, let's all stand as we're able for our invocation into confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us, even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Please be seated if you would. And let's have the children come forward for the children.
morning. How y'all doing? Everybody good? Good? Good. Morning. Good morning, everyone. How's it going? Y'all good? Good. So, I always like to do these children's sermons because we get to talk about some really cool things. Does anybody remember the type of stuff that we talked about last week? No? We always talk about the good things that Jesus has done for us and how it's really good news, right? And then we talked a little bit last week about what to do now that we know that Jesus is with us now and that we can be forever with him in heaven and then on earth when God comes and makes a city on earth and we can be with him forever. That's good news, right? And we talked a little bit about how we should love each other and how we should listen to God's word and everything, right? And what does that make us when we all do that stuff? When we all come together like this, what are we as a people? So we're all a bunch of people, right? And then when we come together here, what are we? Does anybody know? What are we when we're all together following Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit? Does anybody know what we are? Yeah, we're like a family. Very good. We're like a family. And another term for that is the body of Christ. Isn't that a different kind of a thought to have? That we're all, when we're together, the body of Christ. Well, let's think about our bodies. Who has fingers? All y'all? It looks like all y'all have some fingers, right? Who has feet? Yeah? Yep. Who has a head? Yeah, right? But you have different types of body parts, right? And they all work together. So let's just think, if you were just one big finger, what would you be able to do? Move a little bit, kind of creep along, yeah. Kind of like a worm or something, right? What else would you be able to do if you were just one big finger? Yeah. Yeah, you could try to make lines in the sand if you were just a finger. What else? Yeah, you could grab onto something. But what if you were just a finger and you had no eyes, so you couldn't really see anything? Yeah, if you did try to write something with just yourself as a finger, then you could just scribble because you couldn't see what you were doing, right? And so it's good that our bodies have different parts, like fingers for grabbing and our feet for walking and our head that has all of our eyes and our nose to smell and to see and our mouths to taste things, right? So it's good that we have a bunch of different parts of our bodies, right? That's why we're like the body of Christ. Because we each are good at different things and we each have gifts that are given to us by God. So when we come together as the church and the body of Christ and we have these different people who can do different things, it works a lot like a body. Who's good at singing? Is anybody good at singing, like singing? Yeah? Who's good? Yeah. Who's good at helping other people? Does anybody like to help other people a lot? Yeah. And so when we use different gifts like that all together, there's a lot of things that I'm not good at that other people here at the church are good at. And when we all use our different gifts that God gives us, then we work a lot like a body, which is why it says that we are the body of Christ. So what does that mean we need to do now? Because we talked about we need to love other people, we need to listen to God's instruction to us and his word, we need to do all those things. But what do we have to do if we're the body of Christ with all the different parts? What should we do then? Because we're not all just a bunch of fingers. We're all not just a bunch of feet, right? So if we're the body of Christ, then when we come together like this, we all have to work together. And that's the way God designed it. That's why we're the body of Christ. We're going to work together to use all of our gifts together to reach out to the world, to tell them about Jesus, to care for one another. How's that sound? Does that sound like a plan? All right, so remember that when we all come together like this, and then when we're even when we're at home and we're kind of separated by a distance between our houses, we're still the body of Christ and we can all work together, okay? All right, y'all, let's pray, and then y'all can get a sucker and go to children's church. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you came, became a human and came down for us and have died for our sins so that we can live forever with you, empowered by your Spirit now and together with you forever. And we just ask that you constantly remind us that we are your body and that we have to work together to do your will. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. Please stand. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Oh,
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you restrain the powers of heaven and earth. Mercifully hear your people's prayers for peace in our time. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Son, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Before we say it, and I am aware of what time of the year it is, and I know things go around, but let's pass the peace to each other. If you don't feel comfortable shaking somebody's hand, just wave at them, please. We don't want anybody to get sick. That's not intention. But let's at least greet each other in the Lord and pass the peace for a moment. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Mary.
Peace be with you.
Peace
be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Mr. Lane, peace of God be with you. Peace 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 be with you, Alvin. Many blessings. I don't know, does he got something? Amen. That's what we like to see, a church greeting each other. Bless, peace to everyone. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called My Delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Let's read responsively Psalm 128. Happy are they all who fear the Lord and who follow in his ways. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive shoots round about your table. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May you live to see your children. May peace be upon Israel.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be misinformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This ends the readings.
Now the Holy Gospel, according to St. John, 2nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." They filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, but when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. As blessed a story as the wedding at Cana is, I would like to, if you would allow me for just a few moments, to speak with you on our 2 Corinthians text, chapter 12. It's a very meaty text and a lot going on here. As an aside, now this is not the main focus, but as an aside, as most of you may know, the word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Bible. But we do see Trinitarian thought in many places. And this is one in particular where we do see the Trinity being mentioned. There's 2 others that really stand out. The creation story: in the beginning, God, the Word, the Spirit. And at the baptism of Jesus, we see the Trinity in work, but the Trinity is all over the Word of God. And just so you understand, we see down in verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers each and every one. Spirit, the Lord, who is Jesus, God the Father himself, all three mentioned. And this is a great place where we do see the Trinity at work, what God is doing in our lives today. Paul begins telling the Corinthians that he does not want them to be uninformed. He says, I want you to understand some things. Now, just as some background to this, Paul planted this church in Corinth. Paul basically started it from scratch. He goes, this is part of his mission work. He starts this church. And then, I guess we could say Paul might have been one of the first church planters, maybe the first church planter. And then, like any good church planter, he starts it. He works there a little while. He tries to get some people who will take the leadership roles. And then he goes on to plant churches elsewhere and to spread the gospel elsewhere. They write to Paul later, and they say, Paul, we've got some problems. We've got some dissension among us. And it begins with them looking at other leaders. Some follow Apollos, some follow Paul, some follow. And Paul says, no, you can't do that. So he writes back in the entirety of 1 Corinthians and even into 2 Corinthians, deals with conflict in the church and misunderstandings in the church. And there's a great misunderstanding happening at Corinth. And it is mainly due to the gifts of the Spirit. Now imagine the gifts of the Spirit, such a wonderful and a blessed thing, causing dissension and causing problems. But it did in Corinth. And Paul is quick to remind them. He says, you were all pagans at one time. Every one of you was a pagan. There was nobody born into the church at that time. You were converted into the church. And Paul says, you were pagans. And he said, you followed these idols. Most of the time they would have a little wooden idol or some type of, might it be a stone, it may be something else, because you would follow whatever God you thought would help you in every different situation. If you wanted rain, Lord knows we don't need any more rain, please could we just have a little stop of that. You wanted rain, you pray to this God. You wanted a good crop, you pray to this God. You want to have a lot of children, you pray to this God. You want to have happiness, you pray to this one. You want to have a war and be successful in battle, then you pray to this God and you worship this idol. And you see, they were drawn to all these things, and Paul understood what they were coming from because this is part of that culture of the day. But then they convert to Christianity. And when they were baptized, just as each one of you were baptized into Christ Jesus, at that time, guess who came along for the ride? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, right before the ascension, says, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come, the Comforter, the one who will teach you, the one who will be with you, who will be your companion at all times. So now the Holy Spirit has come. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts to people. The vicar was talking about it to the children. God gives great gifts to people. And he gives gifts however he sees fit. The Holy Spirit may see, okay, we need this gift today. We need that gift here. We need this gift over here. We need this. There are great gifts. Please hear me. There are great gifts in this congregation. Great gifts of the Spirit. Just as there were at the church of Corinth. And God had distributed these gifts. But unfortunately for them, they made a mistake. They thought that the gifts were there for their own edification personally and for their own status symbol. And the gift that got the most into the way was the gift of what's called glossolalia, or tongues, as we would call it today. Now, there is tongues in the Bible. There is a thing, tongues. Another story for another day, what they are and what they're not. But we see tongues at the day of Pentecost in action, and we see them in the church of Corinth. It is in the Bible. But it had become, for them, a distraction. How did it become a distraction? Well, what had happened is the people who had the gift of tongues, and not only those who had the gift of tongues, but primarily those who had, thought, I'm a super Christian. I'm spiritual. And if you don't have this gift, then you're not spiritual. You don't have the Spirit of God within you like I do. Well, you see, that's our human nature, the human nature that comes up. It's been alive and well forever, humanity. And Paul reminds them of something. He says, I want to remind you, every Christian has the Spirit of God within them. That's what he's saying here. And he says, I want you to understand something. You cannot even utter the words and truly mean it. Now, you could do it glibly, that Jesus is Lord. You can't even say that and truly mean it unless the Holy Spirit directs you, unless the Holy Spirit has placed that within you. You can't even utter those words. And you certainly, most certainly cannot let Him truly be your Lord without the Holy Spirit operating in your life and doing those things. But here's where they truly made their mistake. They said, everybody who doesn't have this is not spiritual. And Paul says, no, contrary. I hate to break it to you. That's not right. And then Paul also had to remind them of something. They thought the gifts, again, were given for their status. Because now I'm somebody. I'm somebody now in the church. Now again, they don't even have a building. This is just, they don't have committees. They don't have robes. They don't have anything. I don't even have a head church. I don't know how they did it without you. Here's the thing. They were saying, no, I'm somebody. I am somebody because God has given me, and it's for my edification. It's so that I can look good. Paul says, no, you misunderstand the gifts. And he actually takes the gift of tongues, and he puts it last on the list, if you notice. And that's on purpose by Paul. Paul's a pretty smart cookie. He understands what he's doing. So he takes what they're placing above everything else, and he says, no, it's actually last on the list. And he says, you need to understand something about all these gifts. There's an entire list here, and we don't have time to go in to the entire list of these gifts. But Paul says those gifts are given not for one person or for one group of people. They're given for the entire body of Christ. That means everybody here. You see, we all, every one of us, every person in this sanctuary, every person who is a member of Oregon Lutheran Church benefits from the gifts of the Spirit that God has given you. Not just you. It's not for you. It's for the good of the community. And that sometimes doesn't resonate to our American minds because we're so individually minded. Okay? We think everything is about the individual, and trust me, I'm an American through and through. I like individualism. I like those things. But we have to understand that the Spirit, what God does, He does much of it corporately, and it's for the good of everybody. And sometimes He may give the gift of this over here, and He may give it over there. He may give the gift to different people at different times when it's needed. But God has given gifts, and He has given it for each and every one of us to be used here in this body. To be used, why? So we can sit here and we all think we're wonderful and great. No. So that we can do the work that Jesus has called us to do of taking the gospel outside these doors. You see, if we don't take the gospel outside these four walls, then we have not fulfilled the mission of Jesus Christ. And the gifts are made of no effect. Now there's a lot more to this story. But in the end, at the end of this lesson today, he says this, Paul does, and all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. There's not, well, I have the Spirit and you don't. He says all these gifts are given by the same Spirit. The same one gives them to everybody. And who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit moves where he wants. The Spirit, the word Spirit in Hebrew and even in the Greek, pneuma, is wind or breath. It can even mean life. It can mean other things. But what does the wind do? The wind blows where it wants. You can't really control the wind. I mean, I guess you could try, but I don't, you know, the wind blows where it wants. I don't think we can, you know, truly capture the wind. Maybe somebody has somewhere, but the wind blows where it will. And that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit blows where the Spirit wants. when the Spirit needs to blow. Maybe the Spirit needs to blow over here today. Maybe the Spirit needs to blow over here next week. Maybe He needs to blow over here. You see, it's not always about us. It's about what the Spirit wants. The Spirit moves when and where the Spirit wants to. And we have no control over that. I don't control it. You don't control it. No, the Spirit is the Spirit. And the Spirit will move where the Spirit wants. Here's my hope for each and every one of us. I hope that we will be aware of the Spirit's movement and that we will be sensitive to the Spirit moving and that we would allow the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, to move upon us as the Spirit will, and that Spirit will move us to share the gospel, to be disciples of Jesus, to comfort one another, to share the love. It did my heart a lot of good to see the love that I saw a few moments ago. And I know there's a lot of love here. Got to take it out the four walls. The Spirit is the one that will do that. If we will be sensitive, we will understand the Spirit moves for the good of the whole community, for everyone, not just one single individual. Amen.
Let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Please be seated. And at this time, we invite all baptized Christians to join us in the Lord's Supper. We will do a continuous today, and we do ask that if you have a gluten-free need, just let us know. We do have that available for you. So let's participate in God's blessed Holy Supper today. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace, and lead you in eternal life. Amen. Thank you.
Now go in peace, serve the Lord.